Good afternoon.
I'd like to welcome everyone to this afternoon's study session for the May City Council for Monday, June 4th, 2012. We'll begin with the first item on the agenda, which is to review tonight's agenda. Page 2, items 3A and 4A.
Already? Yes, we would like to remove item 4A. We found some errors in the report that we'd like to correct before you take action on this item.
So no backhoes?
Not this week.
But Mayor, let me mention.
This is a good news item. We worked very hard as we identified what we called the life cycle cost of this equipment. And we're very happy that one of our local bidders came out on top on this one. So we just need to get some of the actual calculations correct.
Yes, the vendor recommended will not change.
Yeah, but that
will
change.
Awesome. Great. Okay, so we'll defer that until probably next meeting?
25th, yeah.
Okay, next meeting. So 4A is off the agenda. Items 4B through 4F. Items 4G and 4H. Items,
Mayor.
Vice Mayor.
I just thought we might want to bring attention just a little bit to 4G, the ability, because we don't have to talk about it. I just wanted to bring it up that we're putting some shade structures in various city parks and three very good parks, 2, 5, and 6, and it was interesting because we had somebody come and talk to us about this at our last council meeting about putting shade structures up. And now we're having shade structures. So the very first one was in my district. It was part of the I don't want to say volunteer, but it was donated material, and it's now Councilwoman Higgins' district. You're welcome. The folks in that area, in that park, have been very pleased with the shade screens. They do meet a very big deal. So here you have some 2 weeks later, and ask and ye shall receive.
Great. Thank you. Items 4I through 5D. 5E through 5M. 5N through 5V. Oh, okay. Hey, Mr. Rigby. What? Councilman Richard, do you have something before 5U?
No.
Okay. Mr. Rigby.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. I'm here to give you an update on where we stand with the senior housing that was discussed going to adjacent to the Mesa City Plaza building. Just have a couple slides to review with you where we stand on that. That project was one of three projects presented to the City Mesa back this spring. If you remember, that project proposed an 81-unit, five-story project called Residence at Center Street. Again, it was located directly to the City Plaza building. It was obviously a point of much discussion within the community and among council. If you remember, this is the original site. So to the west was the Mesa City Plaza building, right on the light rail alignment. You can see this artist rendering of the discussion. In response to the community discussion, the city engaged in discussion with the developer, as well as working with ADOH about a opportunity to explore a new location if the opportunity arises, that they receive notice of funding. On Friday, June 1st of this year, ADOH, Arizona Department of Housing, notified the developer in the city that the project was chosen for tax credit funding. At that time, the city then submitted the necessary paperwork to request from ADOH a change of location and use letter as required for their stipulations to allow us to enter into discussions for a new location. A new location is selected as 25 West First Avenue. If you can picture the Art Center, this would be I'm just getting myself backwards here. Center and First Avenue, just west of the LDS Church there at the corner. And this is the early site plan for the project. And the idea is literally take the building that was contemplated on the site adjacent to the city plan, lift it up and put it on this site. The goal the direction of ADOH is to keep it as much as similar as to the site that was what was previously considered. That's what the applicant is doing and working through. So that would be the new site. Just to back up on the schedule, we went back on the 24th, the E-Session, 29th. They submitted plans for plan review for the Mesa City Plaza site. That's in review right now and will continue to be reviewed. They did receive funding on June 1st, so that kicks it to the notice to proceed. We're here tonight to talk about it, and that's really where we stand today. We're close to finalizing all documents. We had some outstanding issues to work through today. We believe we resolved all those, but we're still waiting for final documents for final review. So with that, open for any questions.
Well, so if you're waiting for final documents, it's on the agenda to approve the development agreement. If we don't have final documents, are you suggesting that we defer this until the next meeting for final approval?
Yeah, we're recommending that you defer that to a future meeting.
Okay. When you have the actual documents in the agreement, so we can review them.
Yeah, the council and the public have an opportunity to review that.
Okay. So 5U will be...
when is that? Is that Thursday? Is that...
Well,
we can do it.
Let's talk about
Thursday.
We believe, how soon do you think you'll have the documents ready?
Probably tomorrow morning we'll probably have them done.
Okay. So we can get those to council. What's that? I'm sorry. Wednesday? I don't know what the council's pleasure is, if that's enough time to review it. Typically, we've tried to give you more than that. But we could do it. Wait.
They're done tomorrow morning? What are you going to do? Mail them? Why is it going to take till Wednesday to get them? Sorry, I didn't mean to be snarky.
Well, usually I don't usually count the day that we send it to you. I get this the full day. I mean, if the council wants to take action on Thursday, we can. We'll... attorneys are working on it.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we see how it goes? And if we get it done in time that you can get us a date to look at it, then we can post it for Thursday morning. Okay. Is that okay?
Question.
And let's work toward that. Yeah, Dina?
Is there a reason that it has to push this fast, or do we have another
week? We have an agreement.
Well.
Pardon me?
No, why do we have to approve it Thursday?
Yeah, why do we have to
approve it? Oh, why do we have to approve it Thursday? All right.
Well, one, I think there are some deadlines coming up for the developer. We're the 14th or 15th of this month. They have to provide a significant financial commitment to Department of Housing. So they would like, obviously, to have – no, they have an agreement with the city prior to doing that.
Well.
And so we only have –
It's 15th. That's next week, right?
Well, I don't think – I think the idea is that – wasn't ideal to be doing on the same day that they owed the money. So I think that's why we're trying to back up a week.
We're out of time.
Well, so we could do it next Monday or next Thursday.
Well, we're not. Well, that's
what meeting next Monday.
No Monday.
Yeah, we're out of time Thursday.
And if
but if we have it ready for this Thursday, the council would be fine with that. Is that what I'm hearing? I mean, so that's okay. Yeah. And then I just want to make sure you understand we may not actually have something in your package.
Well, we'll be fine with looking at it, but it depends on what's in there.
Sorry. You don't have putting it on the agenda if I don't have the information to you by Tuesday, but sometime tomorrow.
So Dropbox?
Or, email Dropbox. We'll let you know.
I'm traveling, but I'll be calling in.
Okay.
I'm traveling also. I'm not
Me
calling
too.
In.
Okay.
I'm out of town too, but
on Thursday
I'll call in. Yeah,
I can't.
I'm here.
We can do it on the 14th. I mean, the project. That's the. I think that may be a little difficult. That we still have to the action on the 14th for the form-based code will. This development agreement will be contingent upon that being approved also. On the 14th, so regardless of what we do. On Thursday, they still would still are going to need the action of the 14th in order for this agreement to be effective, in order to put in place the appropriate
zoning.
So we can wait till the 14th.
Dina?
I would say if we have to wait till the 14th anyway, why not just wait till the 14th?
Well, I think you want to review it on the 7th because if you find something that you want to adjust on the 7th, then you'll want to give you a week.
On the 14th?
Let's post it for the...
Let's post it for discussion
Thursday,
on Thursday and possible action.
If it's possible action, great. If not, we can.
Yeah, let's post it for possible action on Thursday. If we have it, great. If not, we'll push it off. Okay. That way, at least we can talk about
option.
It if we need to. All right. Everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Now on the 14th.
14th is the last day.
Yeah, I know. I'm gone on the 14th, and so I want to make sure we have a quorum that's going to be here on the 14th.
I'll be here.
Okay.
I'll be here.
As long as we got a quorum, we're fine. All right?
Actually, 21st.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rigby.
Thank you.
Anything else on that page, 5N through 5V? Okay. 5W through 6D. Seven A through eight A. Eight B through nine B. And nine C through 10. Okay. Next item on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, provide direction on proposed Mesa City charter changes, including but not limited to date of elections, term of mayor and council members, succession policy in case of the vacancy office of mayor, capital program. Councilman Glover, Ms. Spinner, who's going to take this? Okay. Debbie?
Mayor and council, we have been to the Government Affairs Committee twice to discuss possible charter amendments, and the committee has recommended to bring to the full council four provisions that would be changed, and I have them listed here. 701A is to our current charter conflicts with state law as to the date of the election. This would change the charter to simply state that the council will set the election dates by ordinance. That way it would give the council more flexibility if state law changes or if council has other wishes with regard to the election dates. Similar to Section 201C and D, with the term of the mayor and council member, our charter currently conflicts with state law. A couple years back, state law changed to set the election date in November and for the council, the commencement of the term to begin in January. Our charter currently says it begins in June. So this would, again, give the council more flexibility. It would say that the council will set by ordinance the date for the commencement of the office for mayor and council member. Section 605A is another cleanup provision. Currently, the charter says that the city manager must bring to the council by March 1st the capital program. This will just require that the city manager bring the capital program to the council during the budget process. So it will just give more flexibility and more context to the budget discussion for the council. And then the last provision recommended by the Government Affairs Committee is proposed changes to Section 203. And that is, if the office of mayor becomes vacant, how will the office be filled? Our charter currently says if the office of mayor becomes vacant, the vice mayor will serve as mayor for the remainder of the term. And what the committee recommended is that we change it so that if the office of mayor becomes vacant with less than 2 years remaining in the term of mayor, the vice mayor will serve as mayor for the remainder of the term. But if the office of mayor becomes vacant with more than 2 years left in the term for mayor, the council will call an election. The council will have a little bit of discretion. You can either allow it the office to be filled at the next council election or a special election, but the election must be held within a year. So you will have some certainty that the office for the mayor will be filled within a year. It will require, we basically, what you have here is the Phoenix model that says that any candidate for office of mayor must declare themselves a candidate within 10 days of the office becoming vacant. That will basically give some certainty in terms of which members of council may want to run for the office of mayor, what other candidates in the resident of Mesa may want to run for mayor. And then if vacancies are created in district council members, because they declare themselves a candidate for mayor, we will know which positions are vacant and will then begin the process of filling those positions as set out in other provisions in the charter.
Question, Mayor?
Yep.
Debbie, I didn't think that section, that B with the 10-day thing, was something that we were moving forward. Because what you're saying is within 10 days of the mayor leaving office, anyone who's thinking of running has 10 days to declare and get out of office.
That's correct. And the council can change that if it chooses to. That was the Phoenix model, and that's what, at least when I went back and listened to the tape, that's what the committee recommended. The change that the committee recommended is that we have some limits on the time frame for the election in terms of a special election and or a council election.
Yeah, whether it's 10 days or 20 days. And the idea is that you not game the system, a councilman, by waiting to the last absolute minute based on signature requirements, that you make some sort of determination. Whether 10 days is, as I understand it, is too short, or it's 20 days or whatever it is, the idea is to let that be known so it can open it up and say, okay, here's what the election's going to be. And then what happens is that once a council member declares, the question is, is he or she in their last year of their office? Because right. If they aren't, then they would have to resign the council position and then run. If they are in the last year, then they don't have to. They can stay on, because then resign to run comes into play.
That's correct, Mayor. Phoenix says 10 days, but as you said, the council can change that if it feels 10 days is too short.
And that, Mayor, that impacts, if a council member were to have to resign to run, that would impact potentially another race downstream, which is why I think the 10-day benchmark is in there.
Yeah, because what happens, and I wasn't part of that deliberation, but as it was explained to me, if you allow the mayor or a council member to wait till literally the day before to declare, then the question is, what do you do with that vacant council position? Whereas what you'd like to do is have people declare, resign, so then you can have an election at the same time if for both the vacant council position and the mayor position, as opposed to appointing someone that would fill out the rest of that, or having to have two separate elections, because now you have overlapping deadlines, and you might be in a situation where someone decided to run, a council member decided to run for mayor the last second, and there wasn't enough time for people to gather signatures to run, to have an election for the open council seat, which means you're going to have a mayoral election and then perhaps maybe a special election or something for the council. This way, it would give time for hopefully both those to happen so you can take care of that at the same time. Is that accurate?
Yes, except the charter doesn't contemplate a special election to fill a council position.
No, I know that.
Position.
But that's one of the consequences, and
yes.
That's one of the reasons why, as it was explained to me, why you want someone to declare as early as possible.
That's correct.
It
so
just
you
it cleans
have an
up.
And it, for all of the vacant
if you
offices,
want to. If council doesn't have to do that. They can go through, what is that, 206, 205 or 206? Yeah, 206.
206 dictates how to fill a council.
And that one, I think it's at the council's discretion whether to just appoint for the remainder of the term or to call a special election for the council member.
It actually depends on the timing. What it says is if it's more than 10 days before the filing deadline, you will call. There will be an election. If it's less than 10 days, then the council will appoint.
Yeah, and you could literally, as I work through some of the details, you could literally come up with a situation that you could cross those deadlines if someone didn't declare for mayor until it was too late, where you literally ended up having to have two separate elections.
Right, and you can have like different domino effects.
Exactly.
And here it's all at once. We will know what vacant positions.
And it was those domino effects that I think caused us to went to put in the 10 days and to look at the Phoenix.
Correct.
Yeah, Dina.
So why doesn't the system contemplate backing it up to when the signatures are due? Because what if it's a year out? You know, as opposed to. I think that did the Phoenix model make them resign with the 10 days or just declare in the 10 days?
Well, state law also includes a requirement to resign. So they would have to resign.
Yeah, see, and that's the issue. You have city, but the petition is not a city, it's a state requirement, right? Yeah, the state determines the dates, the deadlines as far as.
For the filing deadlines?
Yeah, as far as petitions, yeah.
State law.
So why wouldn't you back up to the filing deadline and say 45, you have to declare 45 days before the filing deadline or some date that, as opposed to 10 days from.
And that's a good point. I think the thinking was you don't know if you're going to have a council election if nobody has declared for mayor.
Yeah, but I mean, if you go out far enough from the deadline for signatures, it doesn't have to, you know, like.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be you're resigning because you have more than 2 years left. So you're resigning maybe 11 months before you, or we'll say 8 months before you have to, without gaming the system. Again, there's a deadline of,
I don't think it really matters as long as you can take care of both things at the same time.
Right, but instead of having it 10 days from the declaring it, you actually look at when your signatures are due, so you don't, it's open, you're not gaming, everyone has a fair shake.
David?
The only thing I'd like to see us avoid is the temporary placeholder warm body effect of having a district council member that serves, 6 months or 8 months until, because as I read this E1 here on page 5, about filling that council seat, and then that mayor pro tem, who's serving as mayor pro tem, goes back and you kick that temporary council member out. So with the learning curve that has to take place, for somebody to fill a council seat for 6 or 8 months, it's just like, really, is that the best service to that council district? If you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we did that.
We did that all the time.
Well, I know, and it was kind of a disaster, actually. So
what
happens though every election cycle?
If the vice mayor becomes the mayor pro tem, there's a period of time that you appoint a temporary council member. Basically, you're hiring a temp for a period of time, because if that mayor pro tem is not running for mayor, then they deserve to go back to their council seat because they had won a certain length of term. So what you're doing is you're filling that period while the council member serves as mayor pro tem with a warm body. That, I don't know. But I don't know what the other option necessarily is, but I feel uncomfortable with that option because it just doesn't serve the district well. I don't know what the solution is. I didn't come up with any of this.
Dave, one of the rationales was that we wanted to provide stability for the council so that you would have the 7 voting members. If you didn't appoint somebody, then you'd have 6 people. What if it came down to a split decision?
No, I understand.
What happens?
So I totally
that was the rationale behind that.
Yeah.
No, it dies.
I totally understand the rationale.
It would fail.
You just have somebody that's trying to learn all this stuff for 4 months.
But you don't avoid that if you get to the end and council members, like last time.
What do you do now?
You appoint someone. Like when Councilmember Griswold decided to run for mayor,
right?
Then Darrell Truitt was put in for 6, 8 months. September
until
to...
Until the special election?
No, until the normal election.
It was like 8 months.
Oh, is it till the normal
election? Normal election.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what this would be is it would be till the till a special election, and that's not...
Or
the remainder of the term.
Or
a regular election.
Or a council election.
Yeah. So it could be anywhere from 6, 8 months to up to almost 2 years.
And we couldn't designate a council election with a special mayor's election if we were going to have one of those? If it made it easy to put a council member on.
If you want to fill a vacant council district position by election, we may have to change Section 206 if what the council desires is different than what 206 now says.
So you just can't put them on a special election for mayor because the charter wouldn't agree with that.
Well, no,
right now the charter does not contemplate a special election to fill a vacant council position.
Even if there is one coming down the pike for
something
else?
Even if there is one.
Okay.
Now, we could change that provision to say that if that's what the council
wants. It doesn't give the council discretion to call it.
It
just says you shall replace. It doesn't give them the...
Correct.
I mean, it would seem like it would be an easy change. You just give them the option of...
It just was a council election coming up.
It was the regular election coming up.
No, because you served 2 years.
It was not a special election, but it was an election for unexpired 2.5-year term. So they just tacked it onto another ballot. Right, that was already going out.
Yeah, but define special election.
Yeah,
it was a special election. It was
exactly.
Let me read.
It was a special election.
Yeah, mayor and
council did call it.
Here's what the charter says with regard to filling a vacancy in a council district. If the event of a vacancy in a council which occurs 10 days less or prior to the final date of filing nomination petitions for the next succeeding election, the council may appoint a qualified person to serve the unexpired term. If the vacancy occurs more than 10 days prior to the final date for filling nomination petitions for the next election, the council may appoint a qualified person to serve until the office is filled at the election. So the decision is, and Councilwoman Higgins was filled because it was only a 2-year term, but it was still filled at the next council election.
Oh.
It was not a special election.
The election wasn't supposed to take place necessarily.
Well, I mean, we're dealing with semantics. It was a special election because it was election before the term up. It just was held in conjunction with the regular election date.
But it was to fill.
But it was not. We waited until the regular election date to have a special election. Anytime you have an election before the term is done, it's technically a special election.
Well, I guess we are playing semantics.
We're playing semantics.
Council, I believe the way the charter reads, the council could not call a special election in March to fill the office
right.
of mayor
right.
and to fill a council.
And so what we're saying is that the whole situation that we're looking at is if we're going to call a special election to fill the mayor's spot and a member of council resigns to run in that special election, would it seem prudent to also have the election for that council member's seat on the same election if you can do it? Is that the question you're asking?
That is the question I'm asking.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good, great question.
And we could.
And right now, from what you're saying, it doesn't give the council that option because we have to wait till the normal election date.
Right.
To have the out of sync, I won't use special election, out of sync election.
And I think the reason is the charter contemplates now that the vice mayor automatically assumes the office of mayor. So there is no election for the office of mayor. So it only dealt with how to fill a vacancy
right.
with regard to
right.
an election for council.
Well, let me ask you this. Is this an issue that the council member filled? Should we have the ability to call a special election in the situation where a council member were to resign to run for mayor? And would we want to have the ability to perhaps call a special council election, district council election, at the same time that the mayoral election would be held so that both seats would be filled at the same time?
Yes.
Alex?
I would think that's appropriate. The one little piece of information I was hoping, Mayor, that we could have our city clerk. I don't see Ms. Crocker, but we were told in our committee meeting that it was well over $600,000 price tag to call a special election. And much farther north of that. So as we take in consideration, if we were to lose our good mayor or others, you know, just the costs involved. So I think if there's a way to
consolidate. Where am I going?
Hopefully nowhere. We need you here. Thank you. But just
this is written for future generations.
Future generations, yeah. So anyway, there's a price for the special election. Pretty significant one.
And I think what you're weighing on is, I think what wasn't considered and what I guess came up is if the mayor's position was filled for 3 years, 3.5 years, then you would have basically a non-elected, mayor non-elected person filling that. And that's the trade-off.
Correct.
Okay. Nina yes. and then Debbie?
So what I hear you, sorry, you're saying, I don't want a special election just for council, only if I'm
it's
saying
in conjunction with
a special election for the mayor.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be an added cost because we're already having an election.
I think that's the question.
Mayor.
If there is a special mayoral election and that creates a vacancy in the yeah. council, then the council has the, and they don't have to, they have the option of piggybacking the council, an election for the vacant council position along with a special election for the mayor.
Yes. That's what
that
I'm
makes
saying.
Sense.
Yeah,
right.
But if there's
going to be holding a council election in the next regular election cycle, so we're not talking about an additional $600,000
yeah.
expense.
No.
We're talking about holding the special election for mayor when you would be holding an election for the rest of
the council
4, 5, and 6 or 1, 2, and 3.
No, not necessarily
because you know let's look at the timing. Let's say that a mayor, the position was vacated in September. Or let's say for whatever reason, it's in December after a November election. Okay. Would you want to wait 2 years to have a mayoral election when you could have one probably the next May? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm just.
And so if you have a special mayoral election that next May, and let's say one council member decides to run for mayor but has to resign, the question is, would you then want to go ahead and have a council? Election, let's say you resigned and it's District 1, and you just got reelected too. So you would have a special election, you would have a council election to piggyback with the mayoral election in May that would then fill out the term, which would go another 3.5 years. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
As opposed to waiting 2 years, appointing someone and waiting 2 years, then the charter, as it is, mandates that if you resigned at that time, you would appoint somebody who would serve till the next regularly scheduled, which would be November of 2014 or 16.
I'm just cheap.
I don't think it's adding any. It only happens if the mayoral election is happening.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget, Mayor, too, we're not making this decision. This is going to be charter changes that are going to have to go to the voters, and the voters are going to decide if they want to, and I would imagine they would, want to have a special election so that they can have an elected mayor. And so ultimately they get to decide.
Housekeeping, we're trying to keep it.
The other three issues are easier.
Maybe it shouldn't be if you simply add a council onto the same ballot if you're having a special election.
And Mayor, just off the top of my head, I think we can do that relatively easily. Just saying, notwithstanding this provision, if council calls a special election to fill the office of mayor, you can include any vacant.
All right, is that a concept that everyone... Okay, I'm getting a majority of nods.
I'm trying to... Maybe go back a little bit in history and figure out why is it the way that it is now? What was the rationale?
Well, first, you did not have a potential vacancy in the office of mayor because vice mayor automatically became mayor.
Okay.
So then we only had potential vacancies in the office of district council.
When we wrote those provisions, was that provision in place prior to district?
Yes, council members.
Well,
that's the original provision.
There's two things
that came on here. Number one, did we even have direct election of mayors? I think we did, but the terms were 2 years too.
The mayor's term? Mm-hmm.
I think when this was written, mayor's terms were two years.
And prior to that, he wasn't directly elected.
Yeah, they changed to 4 years. When was it, Dennis? Early 90s or 80s?
I'm not sure of that, Mayor.
Was he? Okay, yeah. So it was a 2-year term, and so we wouldn't be thinking this if it were still a 2-year term. This only becomes an issue when it's a 4-year term. And with the districts, that's
district
when
it changes. That's the thing that is the major change. Okay.
So, Debbie, why don't you make that one change that gives the council the option of calling a special election for the vacant council district? And in the event that someone resigns to run for mayor, the other things would stay the same. For just a normal council vacancy. Is that?
Yeah, let's see it.
And then just bring it back to us Thursday?
I can do that, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of us aren't here on Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're calling in and all this stuff. So what's the deadline for charter referrals?
Well, we need to, council has to approve or adopt an ordinance. So we have to introduce the ordinance and then adopt it before July 9th. So the last possible time frame is to introduce on the 2nd, adopt on the 9th, and then it goes on to the ballot.
So we have
July.
In addition to tonight, we have 3 council meetings left before break. 25th, the 2nd, the 9th.
Monday night.
Yeah, regular council meetings. We could do it in a special one.
We can get this done.
Okay.
So do you want it to come back on Thursday or wait until...
Why don't you disseminate...
I have a question. Can I go back?
Yeah, you can go back.
Did we decide what we were doing about the 10-day or before?
Was 10-day you feel comfortable with that? You want to make it 20? You want to base it on petitions?
I'm more of a visual learner here. I'm slow. If we could, chart this out a little bit instead of just writing it out, say, okay.
Timeline.
Kind of give me a little timeline so I can understand it visually a little better because I don't think that I'm completely following all of it, I'm going to admit. So.
Okay.
I think the reason why the 10-day came in is simply because rather than trying to figure out what the filing deadlines were, they just said 10-day, and it's easy to calculate that. Mayor's gone, you got 10 days.
Is that
Gregorian calendar or Mayan calendar? I don't know.
The Mayan calendar won't matter anymore.
It'll be done.
There you go.
This might not apply to anybody.
What do we care? What are we doing?
Might not apply to anyone. What visual do you? I mean, because I'm trying to think. Just the 10 days. You want some?
Just a chart.
Yeah, just a kind of
a chart. Okay.
Visual.
We did a little something to try and figure out.
Yeah, I did a number of different hypotheticals. What would happen depending on when the office of mayor becomes vacant?
If you do this, go here, or go there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like a mad
and I guess I just like to see it tied to the filing deadline, because what is the reason? Well, we are making sure everyone has the opportunity to file if they wanted to run. So tied to a filing deadline would be more fair for the person that's currently in an office, instead of them having to declare in 10 days and have to resign when they might have six more months they could stay in their council office.
Well, actually, you got four dates that you would have a special election on, right, Scott?
That's correct.
If we, correct.
Yeah, you could do a special election March, May, August, November.
No.
Mayor, one question I had on that is, I assume we want to have the ability to have a primary and a general. So if you have five candidates running for mayor, you want to make sure that we don't have somebody elected with 22% of the votes.
So that gives you two dates, really.
Yeah.
You either do the March-May cycle or the August-November cycle.
Yeah.
So that does get you into your... So if you did that, you could backtrack, right, Scott?
Yeah, Mayor, and to that point, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to build in the flexibility for council in looking at that date of saying you shall call an election, but giving the flexibility, because you might be in a situation where you could potentially make a November ballot, but without the August primary, and you had multiple candidates, that you could have some overlap potentially into a November March situation. So we thought giving council the discretion where they could look at the calendar, try to assess some of the real life situations that are going at the same time, and could assess what the best time would be within that time frame, but still sticking to the principle that if more than 2 years were left, that the citizens should have a right to decide who represents that office.
And one last thing, and did we talk about if we had a special election and someone won right out in the primary, that they take office X amount of days later, instead of, you know, like, say, January 1st when they won in August?
No, that could be included in the ordinance. So if we change the when does the term commence, the ordinance that the council adopts defining when does the term commence, we could address that issue in that ordinance.
And basically what we would say, like, what's normally followed when there's a special election is the date that the vote is certified, the person is ineligible to take office virtually as soon as it's certified, right?
That, Mayor, that's traditionally how I know the City of Phoenix and the state have conducted their elections. I don't believe that was possibly consistent with the way that Councilwoman Higgins was seated, but that's the way the other entities choose to seat, is upon certification. If they're filling an unexpired term,
right,
then they take
it. Oh, yeah, we have not followed that.
No.
We've waited until the normal time.
Yeah.
Correct. For example, in the
special. But this is a different scenario, because we've always included the council elections as part of the normal elections. And there was some question as to whether we should have seated that person when the election was certified. I mean, we're not saying that, we're not clear as to whether we followed the procedure we should have followed, as far as when someone who's replacing someone who was appointed, when their term ended. The term probably should end when the vote's certified.
Yeah.
Correct. Mayor, just recently in the City of Phoenix, you had a situation of a special election to fill a vacancy for a council seat that became vacant for someone resigning to run for mayor. Upon that special election, the newly elected council member, Jim Waring, was sworn in upon certification of the votes and assumed that seat immediately.
And the winners of the regular elections waited until their terms actually began a month or 2 months later.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay. So. Dennis?
I guess with all due respect to the work of the committee, I'm going to take a contrarian view. And I think that probably what we have in the charter with regard to this is... it's sufficient. I've been through a number of situations where people have resigned for whatever reason from the council, and I think we've managed to live with it fairly well. I think with regard to dates of the elections, regardless of what the legislature did, I think being a charter city, I think we have a very valid argument that we're in charge of our elections and we can make changes by ordinance or by asking our voters for charter changes if we need to. But I think just based on the discussion today, I'd rather keep the system the way it is, but I'll wait and see what the additional permutations are that come from Ms. Benner. Thanks.
And on the first things, I know when I first started talking about these with Debbie and with Linda, the whole idea on that was purely to clean up. Our terms are set. It's just a little awkward when your charter doesn't agree, not so much with state law, and that's where I would somewhat separate. It's not so, it differs from what we're doing, because right now our charter says that the terms begin with the first meeting in June, and that's not how we do it. We do it now because our elections are in November. We do it with the first meeting in January. So it was merely a house cleaning thing, and I don't think there's any big difference because state law allows either one. The question is, especially with the Tucson v. Arizona decision, I think we need to be very careful and recognize that we can decide that. And what we've said is we can make an ordinance that either sets it when we want to set it, or if we don't want to set it, then the default will be state law. Right now we're in a situation where it doesn't agree with what's in practice. So it's purely a house cleaning thing, or housekeeping, not house cleaning. We don't want to clean the house. Mm-hmm. Housekeeping thing. There was one other issue that came up, and it wasn't addressed by the committee, but I'd just like to throw it out there and see if there's any support to look at it. And that is when we changed to the August November cycle, what you did is you threw our primary elections to be consistent with the partisan elections, which, you know, you can debate whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. But one of the things that I know Scottsdale and Tempe just recently did was they said if you only have two people running for an office or only one person, that you skip the primary and go directly to the general, because it really then is a general election. The idea being that the primary is meant to whittle down the field to two so you can then have a general election. I don't know if the council wants to go that route or just wants to not talk about it. I'm throwing it on the table. Right now, if you have two people running for an office, they go on the August primary. The August primaries are partisan primaries. So independents, if they want to vote, have to specifically request ballots. So you have the mixing of a nonpartisan city election with a partisan election, which may or may not include all people. The idea being is that if you have more than two, you've got to have a primary. But if you only have two, you would skip that primary, and those two would then just move forward to the November ballot, where it's a general type election where everyone's involved. And then that would be on there. Now, some people feel strongly one way or another on this. Some people don't care. I just throw it out just to see if there's any interest in pursuing. If there's not, no big deal. If there is, then...
I'd like to see language toward that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. When you... that's two that said they'd like to see language. Is there anyone else that cares enough to have Debbie forward on language? Just forward on some language, and we can either include it or not include it.
Okay.
So when you have the other stuff, just forward on some language, some proposed language that might be for that one too. Okay.
Yeah, and there's anecdotal evidence, I'm sure, from the last campaign where people did not know they could request a, you know, city-only ballot for the nonpartisan stuff. So our last election was one of those. So that
Dennis?
Would be great.
Yeah, I've heard the issue about the concerns for the independents. But also, if there's some language that comes back, it might be appropriate to Mr. Glover's committee to review it and return with recommendations to us or full council, either way.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
So just throw something together. Sorry. Yeah. If you'd include some of that language in what you sent out, okay?
Mayor, if I might ask a question, I will redraft the. Provision dealing with filling the vacancy of the office of mayor. I'll also draft some language regarding the if there's less than three candidates. With regard to the other provisions, section 701A, 201 C and D, and 605A, is council comfortable giving direction to place those on an agenda for introduction, or do you want me to bring drafted language back when we're bringing the rest of it back as well?
Let's do a whole package.
Yeah, why don't you? Well, let's do it all at once.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought I might offer a contrarian view of that.
Never mind. If you're contrarian to the contrarian, is that a double negative that makes you a positive?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it is. Okay. So I'll rule accordingly, whatever that means. All right. Now, the one last issue, though, was the 10 days versus the backing it up from the date of...
I thought we were charting it.
You want to wait and before we decide on that one? Okay, let's do that then.
I'll try and provide some options.
And then we'll give specific direction on that once you've charted it. I'm sorry, what?
It wasn't graphic. couple of cartoonists.
It'd be good for helping the public to understand what they're voting on.
Could I ask you, is it sufficient for that charting to be in black and white 2D, or do we need it color 3D?
Color 3D would be great if we can do it, as long as it doesn't cost too much money.
Okay.
And send them that clip of how a bill becomes a law.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Thank you. Reports on meetings and conferences attended. Do we have any?
Yeah.
Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Oh. Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to report Saturday I attended the first in the Southwest Cinema Series at the Dobson Ranch Library, and we had a good turnout. Remember, this is Arizona-themed films on Saturdays at 2 o'clock at the Dobson Ranch branch. It's part of our centennial activities for the state of Arizona. And so this coming Saturday, the next film will be Rango. Thank you.
Councilmember Higgins.
In the true sense of regionalism, I played golf with Vice Mayor John Sense from the town of Gilbert on Friday in a tournament out at Wigwam, and we smoked the field at 22 under, if you can believe that. You golf people are not believing it, but it's true. So that was one thing. It was very fun, and there's a little scale model of, and well, not little, there'll be an event soon because the team, which was from the town of Gilbert, they brought me in the true sense of regionalism, won a 5-foot scale model of an F-16, which is coming to City Town Hall. So that should be fun. I didn't get to have it because 3 out of 4 were from the town of Gilbert. And on a personal note, I want to wish my husband a happy birthday today. So it's Jack's
happy
birthday.
Happy birthday to Jack.
Thanks.
And it's so efficient when you fill out that scorecard before you start the round of golf. It always works really well.
It was
I
a
like
fundraiser.
That.
There was lots of free things to buy.
Oh, okay. Councilmember Fenter and I, and Mr. Brady, had the opportunity to this morning to attend a ribbon cutting out at the A.T. Still Pediatric Dental Clinic. And the great thing about it is that it's been funded by the Arizona Diamondbacks charities. So Derek Hall, CEO of the Diamondbacks, and my goodness, there was a good contingent from the D-backs there. There's a lot of Sedona Red in the room, and even Baxter was there, Baxter the Bobcat. So it was a lot of fun. If you have not been following what's going on out at AT Still, it's a pretty incredible story. They have, in the last 4 years, I remember when I went to, right after we took office, I went to an event out there, and it was the building was basically empty. It had not been built out at all. And now you go over there, and both floors are completely built out. You can't find a parking spot. It's amazing the growth that's taken place. And they do incredible work both in the medical side and in the dental side and with their health-related. They not only have just doctors and dentists, they have health-related programs out there. And it's really grown and is a point of pride in Mesa. So great stuff going on out there. Alex.
And to mention, they said that they had record number of applicants to the dental school, nearly 4,000. Probably top in the United States.
Yeah, 4,000 for a little over 70 slots.
Right.
So it's amazing. They just graduated their first medical class, what, last year or the year before that? I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think they've been out there 5-6 years in the dental class. It's been great. So congratulations to them. Mr. Brady.
We'll see you Thursday morning at 7:30.
Okay. Have a motion adjourned, Councilmember Higgins, second from the Vice Mayor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. See you upstairs. Thank you.